Happy Thanksgiving out there to all you Locked On listeners and viewers. I'm Chris Carter, your host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. We don't have a full episode today, but we do have a shorter one, two segmented. It's going to be between me and James Rapine, the Locked On Bengals podcast for Crossover Thursday. It's going to be an awesome episode. James asked me questions, I asked him. If you're out there waiting for your turkey to get finished, or you're just chilling with your fam, or you just need a nice, quiet sit outside on your day off from work, we got you here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's keep things rolling on this Thanksgiving edition of Bengals-Steelers week, a crossover that I know a lot of you look forward to. Chris Carter, James Rapine with you. And Chris, let's dive into the Steelers, because I know some, maybe even my broadcast partner Jake Lisco, buried Pittsburgh early in the year. And I am never going to make that mistake, because I've been there, done that. I've seen it too much. I've seen Big Ben, and I don't care how slow or old he is or what his arm looks like. I'm just not going to bury him, because again, I've seen him for the past decade and a half. They're right in the thick of things in this AFC, this weird, clouded AFC. Where is, you think, that this fan base's confidence level right now in where the Steelers are and what they can do potentially moving forward this season?
You know, you'd think after tying the Lions and losing to the Chargers in the way that they did, you'd think that the fan base is like done. But the fans are like all in right now. Especially because they saw Ben throw three touchdowns and zero interceptions. He hasn't thrown an interception, I think, since he maybe played the Bengals. I think that might have been the last time he threw that, or the Packers. I think it was the Packers. That was the last time he threw again. But again, that was like week four or five. Like it's been a while. The people are excited because they saw the Steelers put up 37 points, I believe it was, last week against the Chargers. And granted, some of that was the defense setting them up with some good turnovers, but still, like, they hadn't put that up when their defense was getting good turnovers earlier this year. So there's excitement for that. There's also excitement for the Steelers getting back guys who are healthy. The Steelers have just been just roughshod with injuries. TJ Watts missed several games. Somehow he's still up there in among the league leaders in sacks. Joe Hayden's missed games. Minkah Fitzpatrick on the COVID list. Ben got off the COVID list right before the Chargers game. They were missing both of their guards at times. They still haven't gotten back their right tackle, who they were hoping to be their run blocker on the edge. It's just been a myriad of just issues. And then, of course, their defensive line has just been decimated, from Stephon Tuitt to Tyson Alulu to Carlos Davis. And the list goes on and on. But through all of that, they're still 5-4-1. Like, people thought that, going into that Chargers game, I was like, there's no way that they win this game. They're too hurt up. Their things are too stacked up against them. They would need the wackiest things in the world to happen for this to win. And it almost happened with the wackiest things in the world, with Cam Hayward with his head batting a ball in the air. And then a blocked punt from Miles Killebrew. And both of those get you points there in the fourth quarter. But there's confidence. There's people that they're confident. But this is what, in the preseason preview, when I talked about this, I was saying, hey, I'm not saying the Steelers are world beaters. All I'm telling y'all is that this division is going to be weird and wacky this year, and the Steelers are going to be right in the mix towards the end. So, I mean, when they were losing early, I was like, yeah, but they were missing TJ Watt. They were missing Alex Highsmith. They were missing this guy and that guy. I'm like, if this defense can get healthy, they're one of the best defensive groups in the NFL. The problem is health has been the problem. So it's going to be a lot about this Friday practice report we see on Friday, who's available, who's actually going to play in this game. If they get TJ Watt back, I think it does them wonders, because when he plays, they most of the time they win.
Yeah. And I want to ask you about TJ Watt, but I'm going to talk about, or want to ask you about a guy who didn't play week three, who I think completely changes the offense, makes life so much easier on Ben Roethlisberger and Najee Harris for that, because I think back to week three and it was dump off city in Pittsburgh.
It was
Najee Harris. He might have had 37 receptions, to be honest with you. It really felt like it was that many. And I think it was like 12 or 14 or something, but it was a ridiculous number.
It was 14. It was the third most in team history, behind two Antonio Brown performances.
Like, that's okay. Ridiculous. So, and I'm a wide receiver guy. I like wide receivers. And I've said it for the past 2 years, and especially now that the drops have cleared up. Deontay Johnson, I think, is wide receiver one, and has been wide receiver one in Pittsburgh. I love his game. I know the Bengals are very aware of him and the impact he could have this week versus week three when he wasn't available due to injury. How different is this offense when Deontay Johnson is out there?
There's confidence from Ben Roethlisberger to throw some of the balls that he used to throw to Antonio Brown. Deontay Johnson was gotten. Remember, he was their third round pick, an early third round pick that they got from their trade with to get rid of Antonio Brown. But he was the guy they got him to replace Antonio Brown. They said, hey, we're not saying he's going to be the best receiver in the league, but this guy's a ridiculous route runner. And like you said, in his first couple of years, hands were an issue. But I can tell you all throughout training camp, when we saw him, when he would be the first one on Heinz Fields, you know, for training camp, and he would just practice this little run in place, and the trainer would throw him a tennis ball, and he'd have to catch the tennis ball. And he did that every single day, and still at practice, before and after. He's first on, last off. I'm going to work on my ability to catch the ball and run with it. And he's just turned into a star receiver for the Steelers. He is wide receiver one this year. I was a little skeptical because, you know, I saw him working on that. I'm like, okay, let's see if it translates. It's translated. The touchdown catch that he had against the Chargers in the corner of the end zone was just phenomenal, because he's not just catching the ball with his hands, he's toe tapping as well now. So he got that knee in on that touchdown, and he's made some plays like that this year. So he's been phenomenal. They got Chase Claypool back. I think that they need to throw him some more inside passes. Pat Freiermuth has come along. There's a chance that this passing offense could figure itself out. They started to in this last game. Ben Roethlisberger spoke Wednesday about, hey, we finally went no huddle in that game, and the offensive line picked up what I was calling, you know, mid-play. So that was the thing that we were scared of, and now we might actually use this again. So now there might be some confidence in the Steelers offense, whereas for most of the season there just wasn't any, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and I want to get to the defense, but last thing on the offense. You mentioned the offensive line. It's a young offensive line, especially what we're used to seeing in Pittsburgh. How have they come along? How are they playing right now?
It's a mixed bag. Part of it's also because they're hurt. Kevin Dotson was playing very well at times for them, but then he had an ankle injury that's now put him on the temporary injured reserve. So they brought in J.C. Hasenauer. He had an injury that brought in Joel Haig. So now they're down to a left tackle bumping into left guard. It's been a mixed bag of just injuries and bad things. Kendrick Green is really good as a center when he's mobile, but he still hasn't learned how to snap the ball. Because remember, he was a guard at Illinois. He still hasn't learned how to snap the ball and get his hands up and win battles at the line of scrimmage, because he's getting shoved in the backfield. A lot of people are like, oh, he's not strong enough. I'm like, nah, he's plenty strong. It's just that he don't know how to use his hands yet as a center. He needs quicker hands and understand how that works. I think Duke Manyweather, one of the great trainers out there that talks football all the time, he tweeted about this this week, and he said, like, this kid's figuring it out. He just has to get it together, and in time he will. But, you know, this group has no problem being physical. They just have problems being coordinated. It can be a mixed bag. But when it comes to protecting Ben Roethlisberger, they've done a much better job as the season has rolled along in doing that, and I think that's the biggest thing here. Now, can they get Najee Harris rolling? We'll see. Najee Harris talks a lot about, we ask him about that game with 14 catches, and anytime you ask about his receptions, he's like, they don't plan to throw to me. It's just a check down. I just catch all the check downs. That's all I'm doing right now. So I'm intrigued to see how that builds. But the offensive line, better than it has been, but the injuries are a big question right now.
Yep, and let's continue with injuries and talk about T.J. Watt. He was limited as we record this. It's Wednesday night. He was limited in practice on Wednesday. If you had to guess right now, and again, it's Wednesday night as I ask you this, do you expect him to play? Because if he does play, well, then it's a complete game changer. Deontay Johnson's one thing, but having T.J. Watt on defense completely changes how the Bengals offense can operate.
It really does, because he's just that much of a monster out on the edge, and he makes everyone else's job so much easier. It's harder to double team Cam Hayward when you got a double team or keep an eye on T.J. Watt. I expect him to play. From Mike Tomlin spoke very confidently when we asked him about the status of him, Minkah Fitzpatrick coming off of the COVID-19 list, Joe Hayden's injury, though Joe Hayden didn't practice Wednesday. I get the impression because he's older, they're letting him rest as long as he wants to. But T.J. Watt, him being limited is a sign for me that, hey, that means he is going to be coming back this week. You never know, though. There's always odd turns. Sometimes you re-aggravate an injury. But Mike Tomlin's told us, on multiple occasions that T.J. Watt's one of those guys that he cannot practice all week. And if he says, I'm good to go Sunday, they'll put him in because they have confidence in him. They say he's like an Aaron Donald when it comes to that. So I look at this as a situation where T.J. Watt's going to play.
Yeah, and so if he plays, I look at that defense and I look at what the Bengals did week three. And again, you really can't compare week three because it was it feels like ages and ages ago, especially with expectations of both teams and in what we were expecting versus now, because I think the expectations for the Bengals have certainly risen since that game. Defensively, where are they playing well? Where are they not? Because I got to be honest with you, I see 41 against the Chargers. I see a team that roared back, and to me, after all the weirdness that happened on Sunday night, should have won against the Chargers, but the defense couldn't hold up their end of the bargain at the end with the Mike Williams touchdown. Where are they strongest, weakest? How are they playing right now defensively?
Well, again, it comes down to their injuries. I mean, you look at the guys who got beat, you know, on that last touchdown of Mike Williams. Trey Norwood, the seventh round rookie safety, was in place for Minkah Fitzpatrick. And he had done a solid job most of the game. He just kind of leaned a little bit too much to the inside on one play, and Mike Williams took his head off. You know, and that's where the Steelers hadn't had that much of a problem with Minkah Fitzpatrick at. But you know, Steelers fans all year long, like, well, Minkah doesn't have five picks this season, so you know, maybe he's not as good as we thought. And I'm like, no, the first game he's out, you give up 41 points. You see what he's doing for the rest of the defense. One thing that I pointed out on tape weeks ago was what the Steelers have been doing this year. Instead of just saying, hey, Minkah, go out there and be X-Factor guy and just fly around the field and make interceptions and play center field, they're having him double where they think that that they're weakest. Like against the Raiders, he helped take away Darren Waller. Of course, they got exposed for losing to Henry Ruggs. For the Bengals, he was not helping against Jamar Chase. I believe he was helping against Tyler Boyd. And that's why, you know, Jamar Chase started taking their heads off. I would gamble that if he can come off the COVID-19 list in time for this game, his emphasis will be to help with Jamar Chase, because he's been a big playmaker for the Bengals this year. So having him back out there, not just his ability to play, but his ability to communicate and keep the whole defense together, that does a lot of wonders. So, you know, again, you look at this Steelers defense, it was really Cam Hayward and a bunch of other guys out there this last week. When you get a TJ Watt back, I think Alex Highsmith has come along well. They need better production from Devin Bush. Cameron Sutton played well, but you know, when you look at the guys that prop up this defense, it's supreme playmakers like Minkah Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt. And when both of those guys are out, it's a problem. So what's going to be the key for this game? Can those guys get healthy, and can they play at 100% or close to 100% level? If they do, I think it's a different defense than what you saw Sunday against the Chargers. But you know, with the Bengals, with their explosive offense, it's going to be about limiting the big plays.
Good stuff on the Steelers. Let's switch gears, and Chris is going to ask me about the Bengals next.
Keeping it rolling here on the Locked On Crossover Week. It's Thanksgiving. It's an awesome weekend. We're enjoying it. I'm joined by James. I'm Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers. James, let's get to these Bengals questions now. Now, the Bengals have had as weird and rocky of a road as the Steelers have had, the Bengals are right with them with just weird things that happen this year. You know, you come out proven that you're a tough team. I think you start 5-2 to start the season. Everything's looking solid, but then you get a couple bad losses, the Jets, the Browns, but bye week hits and you're back against the Raiders. Now, I picked the Bengals to beat the Raiders on the Locked On NFL podcast, because even though you guys maybe wear stickers on my face for the Jets loss, thank you Bengals for losing that one. But you know, I look at this team and I see this is still a very young team that's developing its leadership. Where do you see the command of this team coming from? Like, who are the guys that garner everyone else around them? Because when I look at this Bengals team, my biggest question is, who's the guy that puts the flag in the ground and says, follow me, guys. We're gonna be staying focused this week. And it'll keep, instead of being up here one week and down here the next, you'll be right in the middle.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I think it's full of their locker room's full of guys that make sure that they stay pretty stable and that they're not getting super high after 5-2 or super low after back-to-back losses. And really, when they went to Vegas and how they responded to me was a big testament to that. And we'll see if they can keep it rolling this week. But you're right. It's been a lot of up and down and all around. They start 1-0 against the Vikings. Then they go to Chicago and lose to a team that they're better than in the Bears. Then they bounce back and they beat the Steelers, a team that I thought they were going to lose to in week three. And it's just been this, you know, weird up and down season, but they look up and they're 6-4. They're in certainly in the hunt for the playoffs, the fifth seed right now. And so to me, it starts with Burrow, because he'll get fired up here and there, but he's very, very even keeled. And, you know, if he doesn't play well, right, let's say he throws three picks on Sunday against the Steelers, you know what he's going to say? Well, I didn't play enough well enough for us to win. And when you do that in the NFL, you're going to get beat. And so then he'll move on to the next game and they'll be motivated in to do that. And it isn't that simple, of course, but they have a nice mix of young guys like Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase that stay pretty level-headed. And then veterans that have been there, done that, whether it's a Von Bell, whether it's a DJ Reader, where they've played on playoff teams before and they know what it takes and they know there's going to be some lows. Mike Hilton is another one that certainly helped them this season. So, yeah, it's a unique blend of guys. And right now, even when the outside, including people on the Locked On Bengals podcast, I don't know who, Jake or me, when they panic, you know, the Bengals aren't necessarily panicking.
No, I feel you. But that's the important thing here is when you're trying to build this young core, and yeah, you got veterans like Vaughn and Mike, but everyone knows Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, like these are the guys that you're leaning on. But speaking of those three guys, one thing that I've been really impressed with the Bengals, and Mike Tomlin talked about this in his Tuesday press conference, is how balanced the Bengals are on offense. Joe Mixon can rip your head off if you're not paying attention in the run game, but also Joe Burrow will rip your head off in the pass game by hitting Ja'Marr Chase, and Ja'Marr Chase isn't alone. You still got Tyler Boyd. You still got T. Higgins. You know, this is a group that you have to pay attention on all sides. And the Steelers defense, again, coming off their worst performance since 2013, granted again because of injuries, but still they're well aware of what the Bengals can do. Where do you see the balance leaning for this team moving forward? Do you think this team is going to be a team that leans more on Joe Mixon to close out some games? Or is this a team that can just air it out on people, run up the scoreboard with the passing attack?
I think they want to air it out and run up the score. And that includes Mixon, right? But they know that there are going to be weeks. And this is something I think this coaching staff has shown this year in growth for sure. They know there are going to be weeks where they are not going to do that. Last week against the Raiders, why would you drop back 40 times with Yannick Ngakoue on one side, Max Crosby on the other, when you can avoid that? Week three against the Steelers is another one where Burrow, they knew they got the lead early and they knew that they didn't need Burrow to carry them, you know, and throw for 350. And so there are weeks like that. And so I think it's going to be a balance. And that doesn't mean that they can't have explosive plays on those weeks when they're banking on Mixon to kind of deliver and carry them offensively. At the same time, they've shown they can win in a variety of ways. And this coaching staff has shown that they can pivot when needed. So looking ahead to Sunday, assuming TJ Watt is out there, you mentioned Alex Highsmith. Obviously, we know what Cam Hayward can do. I look at this Bengals offensive line and I'm like, okay, well, if you can run, running might be the best option. And, you know, even in week three, Burrow took some big hits there. I know that the Bengals didn't give up a sack and that sack streak was snapped and all that stuff. He still took some big hits early in that one. And that's when they pivoted. So would not be shocked at all if the Bengals, not conservative, because they're always going to take shots. You have too many weapons not to.
Right.
But I wouldn't be shocked at all if as this weather changes, it's going to be chilly probably at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday if they lean on number 28 a bit more.
Yeah, especially with the Steelers, the giving up the run plays that they had. Now the Steelers, and it's odd when the Steelers focus on it with their backups, they're like they shut down Nick Chubb against the Browns a few weeks ago, but the week before that they were letting Alex Collins and the Seahawks rip them apart. You know, like it's just it's an odd, and then you play the Lions and then their run offense picks you apart, and it's just. That's where the interesting thing with the Steelers has been this year is figuring out what they could emphasize on defense if they're ever limited with their roster, like they were against the Bengals when they were missing TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. All they had was Melvin Ingram, and they don't even have him anymore because he wanted more playing time. But I'm really intrigued about this Bengals defense too, because they stuff the run pretty well. They've been able to make plays. You still got Jesse Bates back there making plays. Where do you see the trajectory for this defense? Are they going to be a turnover creator, you know, as they continue to build chemistry together? Because one thing that Mike Tomlin talked about is that when you look at this defense, there's a lot of guys who haven't missed a lot of games, and you see the chemistry start to come together on film.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the thing, is there the sum of all the parts is greater than any individual, and even Jesse Bates, I would say he's probably underachieved up to this point so far this year. And yet you look up and this defense is a big reason why they're 6-4. I was pretty down on them going into that Vegas game and they responded. The Raiders were 0-6 on the first third down, six impressive third down opportunities. The game was over when they finally converted a third down. And they had the two forced turnovers in late in the fourth quarter that really put the game away. And so, yeah, I think if you painted this picture of what this Bengals defense is going to be, well, they don't have any superstars. Like, Jesse Bates is really good, and I think he's going to be really good the second half of the season. He's not a superstar. Trey Hendrickson's a good pass rusher. He's not a superstar. And Logan Wilson got off to a really good start, but he's kind of tailed off a little bit from a production standpoint. And I don't think he's going to be a superstar. And I'm not being insulting or insulting any of these guys. But what I am saying is, when the game is on the line, one of them is going to have to make a play. It might not be that same guy every time, but it's going to have to be Bates one week and Hendrickson another, and then it's going to be Wilson. And so who will it be this week? It was Hendrickson and Hubbard last week that really put the game away. Along with Eli Apple. So a bunch of Eli Apple, no one would bank on him, but he had a huge interception. So that's the part of it. I think this defense, they're solid everywhere. They're not necessarily great everywhere. They don't get enough heat on opposing quarterbacks, in my opinion, outside of Trey Hendrickson. They don't have a pure edge rusher that's going to give you what you need. They don't have, an Alex Highsmith, so to speak, to complement their version of TJ Watt. And I'm not saying Hendrickson is TJ Watt. Relax.
You're fine. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So in Hubbard's fine, take him for what he is. And he's on pace to have a career high in sacks, but I just don't think he gets the amount of pressures that you want. So this defense, I think they're good. They're not great. And if they want to be great when it's all said and done, it probably will be that path you mentioned where there's a bunch of turnovers involved.
Last question here, because Steelers fans have always asked me to ask stuff about Mike Hilton. How does he fit in, not just as a player, but in the locker room? As you've seen the season go along, I've always loved talking to Mike Hilton. He's very insightful. He thinks about what he says, and he wants to be a leader. He's always the guy that's fighting for his team. How does he fit into what the Bengals have asked him, and then how does he fit in also as a veteran in the locker room to galvanize guys?
I think he's been great in the locker room. An absolute gem, joy, whatever you want to say, that instantly gives this team in this defense another veteran to lean on, especially when times get tough. Who's been there, who's been into the playoffs, who's been through the AFC North wars that they're about to embark on again on Sunday. And some of these guys have only played the Steelers once or have only gone through the AFC North once. Well, Hilton's done it time and time and time again, so he knows what's coming. So let's start there. Now, as far as a player goes, I think he, much like Bates, would probably say, yeah, the production hasn't been what he wants it to be. And that being said, I thought he was great last week against Hunter Renfrow. Maybe his best game as a Bengal. To me, his best game as a Bengal, made a couple of big tackles. Hunter Renfrow, I think, is an underrated slot receiver in this game. And he had, in the NFL, he had 5 receptions for 30 yards, and a couple of those were in garbage time where the game was over. So, yeah, I think Hilton gives them a lot. But where you want to see him, and maybe it starts this Sunday, is as a blitzer, make a huge impact. Sack, fumble, strip, tackles for loss, all things that he's really, really good at that we've seen some of. But I think he knows it. He senses it. He's going to have to have a lot more of that over the next 7 weeks if the Bengals are going to make a playoff run.
It was a big reason why he was so loved in Pittsburgh, because that guy, he's small as all get out, but he is so instinctual. He knows when you're snapping the ball, he gets after you all the time, and he's not afraid to hit anybody. I saw this man light up Travis Kelce once, and I'm like, how? But yeah, absolutely. Mike Hilton's a great guy. We're glad to do this. James, this has been a great episode. Thanks so much for doing this and making time out. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Oh, at James Rapine, and then the Locked On Bengals podcast. That's it's the one-stop shop. We're Locked On's a big family coming at you daily. So
yes, indeed. We got a lot of great stuff here. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can watch both of these shows and listen to both of these shows the same way for free. If you make your first listen every day, whether you're a Steelers or a Bengals fan, go to Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. You watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. You'll be following your favorite team, whichever team it is. Thanks so much, James. Good luck to you guys. We'll be talking again, hopefully in the playoffs. Maybe there'll be something about that.
Sign me up, man. Sign me up, especially if you're coming down here for the playoffs.
That would be dope.